Guardians of the Geekery, episode 252. Just the four of us. For this episode, we decided, this is the second one I believe we recorded in 2019 so far. And it was Carol, Joey, Tiffles, and myself, Starnsword. And we talked a little bit, let you guys know some news about our podcasting schedule due to some life events and things like that. And we talk about books, movie, TV. So this is a freestyle. We don't have a guest on this episode, but we just kind of catch up on a bunch of geeky things and geek adjacent type of things. So enjoy. Let us know your comments, criticisms. Well, hopefully not criticisms. As long as they're constructive, we can take it. and please subscribe to the podcast, Guardians of the Geekery.
In the podcast room of the Geek Gala HQ, there are assembled Charlotte, North Carolina's four okayest geeks, created by the cosmic legends of their own mind. Starnslord, the Giddy Geeker, Carol the Cat, Tiffles Tannenbaum. Their mission, to support local, to discuss all things geek, and to serve all fankind. They are the Guardians of the Geekery, the official podcast of the Charlotte Geeks.
Push the button.
The porg is still staring at me.
Squeeze it and get it over
with. It's a stuffed animal. Unless you move it, it's going to keep staring.
As the porg turns. Hey,
hello. Well, we're on. Yeah.
We're podcasting.
I don't know how on we are.
Podcasting.
It's episode 252.
Did you just make that up, or is that actually episode 252?
It's actually 252.
Oh, cool.
I know this.
If we release them sequentially, yes. We have three that we can. Who knows what the heck could happen?
Edit out the number.
If not, it's wibbly wobbly tummy wimey.
We have two, and for the record, I don't have 251 yet, so.
This would be the third one, though.
Well, this would be the third one, but yeah, by the time I get it, I'm sure it'll be the only one.
The only one.
Hey, it's 2019.
It is indeed 2019.
Yeah, now we did have a guest last week, so this is not the first episode of the new year, but it's the first one, just the four of us.
That's right.
Tiffles is here. I know you don't know it, but here, watch this.
I said something before.
Yes. Did you?
Yes.
While we were
recording?
No, I said if the stuffed animal is staring at you, you have to move the stuffed animal.
I just thought I thought it was the disembodied voice of the porg.
The porg.
If you don't move me, I will stare. Hey, it's not my fault. You fed me cake.
Sugar high.
Sugar high. Renee Zellweger singing on the rooftop of Empire Records. That's what I think of when I think about Sugar High. Do you remember that scene?
Yeah, I do.
It's been a while.
I was like, okay. I do, but one of my favorite scenes with her is in there. I don't like the You Had Me at Hello from Jerry Maguire, but I do like the scene where she reaches over to...
John Cusack?
No, the girl.
Oh,
Liv Tyler?
Not Liv Tyler. The other one. The one that shaves her head. Mm. I know it. And she's
And half a dozen Sinead people O'Connor. Listening to this are like...
Yeah, I know. You're all screaming at me right now. And I'm not going to look at IMDb.
I haven't watched Empire Records in forever.
But she was the lead of The Craft. She was the lead actress.
Oh, yeah. Fairuzia Balk?
No.
Fairuzia.
She was not
in The Craft.
She wasn't the lead.
I know you're talking about.
She was the head witch.
Yeah, but she wasn't the good girl.
She was the she wasn't the one.
Now, of course, I can
Skeet Ulrich.
Farzooka Balak and Rachel True and Nev Campbell were the three.
Debbie Mazar?
No.
Robin Tooney?
Robin Tooney, that's who it was.
Of course it was.
Where Robin Tooney and Renee Zellweger are picking on each other, and they just found out it's going to become a music town. And they say, let's not fight, let's rip. Because they... they rip up the sheets of the.
I'm more a Bridget Jones Diary girl. I liked her in Bridget Jones's Diary.
I don't think I saw the last one.
I didn't see the last one, and I didn't care to see the last one. Yeah. Nothing was going to beat the first one because I just loved Tom running into the restaurant when the two guys started to fight.
There's a fight, an actual fight.
And it was such a British fight. They're just kind of pushing each other and smacking each other.
I think that whole scene is like super well done.
The thing that I love about Bridget Jones's Diary is when you go back and watch it now, you realize how each of those people have gone on to success in other sci-fi shows. Like Tom was actually Gaius Baltar
in Battlestar Galactica.
And then we had Moaning Myrtle. Yeah.
Who was crying in the bathroom in this one too.
I know. It's like, is this where this came from? You know, but.
I think if you ever wondered if any of these people are geeks, the fact that they took from Bridget Jones's Diary, like, the people that have gone on to do sci-fi kind of a thing. Like, I'm thinking of Hugh Grant and Colin Firth.
They had great careers after.
Yeah, but, you know, Colin Firth and Hugh Grant had careers before this. And I'm not saying that the other two didn't, but I didn't know them then.
Yeah, sure.
And then going back and watching them, that was the connection. Besides, we are Guardians of the Geekery, and I figured it would be nice.
I'm just reaffirming what we are.
I could draw that line between Bridget Jones's Diary and Harry Potter. I think that would be better for our listeners.
Well, her father was also in Harry Potter because he was Professor Slughorn.
Yeah.
Basically, if you were British and in a movie, you were in Harry Potter.
This is true.
They employed everybody.
Indeed.
Yeah. But Robin Tini, I'm sorry, I forgot your name. I love The Craft, though. I watched that.
I don't think I've ever seen that movie from beginning to end.
Really? I think we should sit and watch it. Have you seen it?
Yes.
Have you seen it?
Yes.
It came out when I was like in high school. So, yeah, we were all kind of.
Shut up. I didn't ask you how old you were. I just asked you if you'd seen it.
Yeah. What the heck?
Yeah.
Can
we establish one more time how much younger you are than the rest of us?
20 years.
No.
15 years.
Actually, for me, that's probably true. No. I think that is probably true.
No.
You're not that much older than us, Carol. You're not.
How old are you?
I mean, Tiffany.
I'm 33.
So 17 years.
She's still not telling you the truth.
No. Can't wait to go to Switzerland in 2 years to celebrate that big 35th birthday.
Sure.
That would be 40.
So, oh, wow. Okay. So she's 12 years. Wow.
Yeah. Yeah. So,
you got your whole life ahead of you.
Yeah. You're whopping 10 years older, younger than us. So,
go make all the mistakes you need to.
I can math. Yeah. So, anyway.
Well, that's all the time we've got. Thanks for joining us.
I actually wanted to talk a little bit about it. So for the past year or so, we've been doing two episodes a night.
Yes.
And we really...
I thought you were going to continue about The Craft. No, never mind.
Yes. I bind you, Manma. Yeah. So we've been doing two episodes a week. And... that's not been working out for us. No, we really enjoyed it. But we've had some life changes happen in the past couple months. And so we are actually cutting back a little bit. And we're going to be doing one episode a week, basically. And once a month, we have determined that we're going to get together as a group and not have a movie of the week, book of the week, TV show of the week. Although I think we'll still review some albums and stuff like that. Yeah. You'll still see that sneak in. But once a month, we're just not going to have a guest. And then the other 3 weeks, we'll have a guest and it'll be great.
Yeah.
So today we're just going to talk about stuff that we've been doing. TV shows we've been watching, movies we've seen.
Crossword puzzles. Let's talk about those.
Games we've played.
Games. Sure.
Anything like that. So we're going to start with you, Tiffles. Is there a movie, TV show, record, book?
There's a litany of things.
What's something you've been watching or reading?
So I just finished a book called The Last Time I Lied by an author called Riley Seiger. And essentially it's a thriller, and it's a story about a girl who was, I believe she was around 11, and she was at camp, and she shared her cabin with three girls that were like a little bit older teenagers, and they go out for the night and they tell her she's too young, and the next morning she wakes up and they're not there, and she looks all over camp and they're not there, and these girls are never seen again, and she and there's never any resolution, never any bodies found, never anything. And so fast forward like 15 years, she's an artist in New York, and she finds that she's always painting these girls, like they're her kind of like muse in a way, and she's like disturbed by it. And the after this disappearance happened, the camp closed, and so the head of the camp comes to her art show and says, you know, I'm going to reopen the camp and I want you to come back and be like the art instructor. And she decides she's going to do it because she wants to get closure to this issue in her life. And that's all I'll give you for that. But, and you know, so you eventually, she starts getting clues while she's there and finding things out and following leads and to figure out what happened to these girls. And it's, I have to say, it's a quick read. It wasn't that super long, maybe 400 pages or something, but it was really good. And I will admit that the way it resolved itself was actually a surprise to me. So,
was the head of this camp, was his name Jason Voorhees?
No. It wasn't horror. It was a thriller. Okay, girl?
That could be a great setup for one of those Hallmark mysteries shows.
Yeah, no.
So,
No.
So I would recommend that. Okay. I actually just started reading his. He has a book called Final Girls, and
I think I saw the movie that was based.
There was a movie.
There was a movie.
Oh, okay. Yeah. So because I read that book, he recommended me. So I can't tell you how good it is, but I just started that, and it's about girls who've survived a serial killer, and they're called Final Girls by the media, and yeah, on the movie front. I've seen The Favorite. I'll just give you a quick little whatever. I saw The Favorite. I thought it was pretty good. I didn't love it.
I loved it.
You would. You're weird. But no. It was pretty good. I saw Mary Queen of Scots, which I really wanted to love because I did go to Scotland last year, and there was a lot of that, and seeing, you know, the architecture and all these things. But the acting was very good. But I just didn't.
Just thought Margot Robbie was so horribly miscast.
I agree. Why put somebody that beautiful to be somebody that ugly?
Elizabeth wasn't ugly, but she's far too young.
There's that. I by the way, to your point, like I think of Elizabeth as Kate Blanchett. So.
Yeah.
certainly not ugly.
Yeah.
I just
thought she was.
But miscast. I thought Saoirse Ronan was very good. So I saw that. I saw the movie Second Act with J-Lo. And I have to say, it's kind of a fun movie, you know, about a woman who is pretending to be 10 years younger than she is. Clearly dating Milo Ventimiglia. But but still, that's neither here nor there. It's got really good humor. I think that you would like it, Joey. It's just fun. It's a nice movie. You know, there's nothing to be offended about or anything like that. And cool. I saw The Upside with Kevin Hart and Bryan Cranston.
Oh, is that any good? Or?
It has a weird vibe to begin with, where it was kind of like, this. I don't know about this decision that they made here, but it eventually kind of evolves into what you expect it to. So it wasn't great, but it, you know, really enjoyable. Really, the two of them have good chemistry together. I've probably seen 45 other movies, but that's all I can think of right now. So there you go.
How about you, Carol?
Well, I just finished up a book by Margaret Atwood. It's one of her older books called Bodily Harm, which made me incredibly uncomfortable because I just felt like I'm very similar to the lead character who can't say no to people and has no idea how to get herself out of bad situations. But it's Margaret Atwood, and I recommend anything by Margaret Atwood because she's an excellent author. I just started, we were at a LogicCon this past weekend, and I won a book by Michael G. Williams.
How did that happen, Carol?
I was on the author dating game.
Who made you go on that?
You made me go on that.
Because you can't say no to anybody.
That's right. I can't get myself out of bad situations, but I get a free book out of this one. So I just started his new book, A Fallen Autumn. So I'll let you know how that is when I finish it.
Awesome.
And then I'm reading a nonfiction book about underground filmmaking in the 1950s and 60s. So, because that's the way I am. And as for movies, I went and saw The Favorite, which made my top 10 list, actually. I actually really liked it a lot. It's about the reign of Queen Anne, which is a bit of British history I'm not real familiar with.
Me neither.
And her relationship with Sarah, the Duchess of Marlborough. And that was actually, that's actually very, I did some research, some homework after the movie, and that's actually true to life. So
that's what I heard. I heard it's based on true events.
Yeah, true events. It's done by the same guy that did The Lobster.
Oh, yeah.
Which is one of the most strangest comedy you'll ever watch.
Is he the same guy that did
Killing the Sacred Deer?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I
liked The Lobster a lot. A Killing of Sacred Deer was a harder sell for me, but I thought it was interesting. And I think he's an interesting filmmaker.
He's a very interesting filmmaker. This is done very
lobstery.
It's not done very lobstery.
No, definitely not.
I don't think he wrote this one. I think somebody else wrote the screenplay. But Olivia Colman as Queen Anne, I thought was excellent.
She was so good.
She was so good. And then it has Emma Stone and Rachel Weisz, who seems to star in all of his films, I think. But they're also equally good. But Olivia Colman kind of steals the show as Queen Anne. And then
I will give a shout out to
Nicholas Holt.
Yes,
as the you barely recognize him because he's such a fop in this one.
But I thought he was
but
so
he
good.
He was actually really good,
like sort of sinister, but also kind of like charming and
sinister, charming, and under about 10 pounds of makeup.
Yes, and wig
and wig. And then I just on a lark I went and saw Escape Room, which it actually is not that terrible. It's not good by any stretch of the imagination.
Okay, but when they, you know, they show that part in the trailer where the guy's head gets caught in a vice, does it pop? Like, is it?
Okay, it's not a vice. He's actually in a room that's shrinking.
Right.
Yeah, no, it doesn't.
Oh. Okay.
This is a PG-13 horror film. You don't get any gore.
Oh, I didn't realize that.
Yeah, okay. you don't get any gore at all.
But people do die.
People die, but it's very clean deaths.
Oh.
Okay.
And the guy who directed this also directed a little film that I actually really like called The Taking of Deborah Logan, which is kind of a found footage film, but it's really well done. And then he directed this one. It's very predictable, but it's kind of fun. The rooms are kind of fun. It's PG-13, so there's not a whole lot of gore. And it stars Tyler Labine, so I was like, oh, hey, Dale.
I don't know who that is.
Tucker and Dale versus Evil. Oh, my God. We need to do that as a...
Okay.
We need to do that as a sit-down watch.
Because we've not watched it.
Yeah.
So.
It's that one's very gory, but it is funny gory.
Oh, okay.
And it stars Tyler Labine and Alan Tudyk.
Yeah. Oh, I know Alan Tudyk.
Yeah, as Tucker and Dale.
Two
down-home boys who just get themselves in a bit of evil.
Oh, my goodness.
When I saw the escape room.
Did you see Vice?
I did.
You reminded me when you said head to Vice. I saw it as well.
I actually liked Vice.
Thought it was good.
I liked it a bit more than The Big Short, which was done by the same guy.
It was?
It's the story of, you know,
Dick
Cheney.
Oh, Todd Phillips.
No.
No.
It's Adam McKay.
Oh, Adam McKay. Yeah, he used to be the head writer at SNL, and he was he wrote almost everything that Will Ferrell did.
Right, they're writing partners, and they like found everything. It Funny or Die. Yeah,
that's crazy. Okay, crazy.
Yeah, so this is based on the career of Dick Cheney. Christian Bale.
That did look really good.
Yeah, Christian Bale is an insane madman because
so good.
He put on, like, I don't know, 80 pounds, 80, 90 pounds for this.
Wow.
One of these days, he's going to die preparing for a role.
Going back and forth like he does. Yeah.
He does.
What was it? Did he do The Machinist?
Yes. Yeah, he did The Machinist.
Where I was like, you're going to die, my friend. Because
he got down to about, I think, 110 pounds at that point.
And then I think that was right around American Psycho, where he was like...
after American Psycho, but he went from The Machinist to The Dark Knight. So he went from starving himself to 105 to a superhero diet. And I'm like, dude, your body's just going to shut down. But he's actually really good as Dick Cheney. You barely recognize him.
I didn't recognize him for the previews, honestly.
Yeah. I think you're taking completely out of it. Like, you're not thinking, oh, this is Christian Bale.
No.
He's really, really good. The voice, everything. I mean, that's the thing, by the way. I mean, Dick Cheney with his kind of soft voice.
Yeah.
But just how much of a motherfucker he is.
He's just like, he's a horrible, horrible human being.
Oh, yeah.
Just the idea that he would just, like, stop everything's like, yep, having a heart attack.
Yeah.
Gotta go to the hospital.
It had, of course, had humor in it.
Yeah, yeah. It has humor in it, but you still cringe because all of this is real. And then Sam Rockwell is W.
It's very good, too.
Did you see that there were a couple of senators that said that that's exactly how they
were? Yeah. From what I heard, Jared and Ivanka walked out.
That's awesome.
But I think there is a couple of Trump jokes in the...
I don't remember,
but I actually liked it a lot. I thought it was really good. And then I saw Into the Spideyverse, which I thought was excellent.
I actually,
a little bit hard on my eyes. The animation style in a couple of places was a little hard on my eyes. I had the same problem with Escape Room. There's one room that almost gave me a headache. But
Don't spoil too much on the Into the Spider-Verse because I do want to see it.
Yeah. Probably close to being the best superhero movie of last year. I think I like Infinity War just a tiny bit more, but
I thought it was a good approach.
Black Panther's up there.
Yeah, that was a good approach. Yeah. I won't do any spoilers at all, of course, but yeah, I thought it was a good approach. Just all the different things they were able to show, and I guess now they're definitely going to make a franchise out of it. So hopefully
it worked.
They won't lose the.
I had no idea that there was a Spider-Man noir.
Oh yeah. I have seen some of those because they were playing those on.
Those were in the cartoon series as well, but they actually did a whole Marvel noir thing, and it was awesome.
I also didn't know that Nick Cage did the voice for that.
Yeah, wasn't it that like a lot of that was inspired from footage that didn't get used in the film noir series? I've read that somewhere.
Oh, it was a comic book, and it was set back in the.
No, but some of the beginning animations, some of the animations from that movie were because they had animations that didn't get used.
I don't know.
No, this possibly. Is all very pop art.
Yeah. Could be, though, yeah.
Yeah. Stuff. But I really enjoyed that one.
Yeah, yeah.
TV, I'm not really watching much of anything regularly.
I will give a quick shout out just because we've got some local Charlotte folks, creators that created Spider-Gwen. Rico Renzi. Who was a creative director at Heroes Are Hard to Find Forever, but he is the colorist on Squirrel Girl, Unbeatable Squirrel Girl.
Yeah.
And he was on Spider-Gwen as well up until they rebooted it. Whatever. But Sean McGuire's writing that now, so you have to let, you know, Spider-Ghost as they're calling her now. But
that's awesome.
And then Jason Latour was the writer. So they're both Charlotte folks. So, but that's cool, Charlotte Connection. And I've bugged them about being on the show, and they haven't responded. So,
there was one bit of TV I want to shout out: Black Mirror's episode Bandersnatch, which is on Netflix.
Yes,
is pretty fucking amazing. This is a choose-your-own-adventure, so you actually have to have your remote handy, and you have to pay attention because
there are
moments in this where you choose what the character does, and there are multiple ways that it could go. I watched it for about 2 hours and I had to stop and I didn't get all of the
options.
So, but yeah, you have to pay attention because I looked away and looked up and two options were on the screen and I was like, what the hell did I do? Because those were not good options. Oh. So
and now they're being sued by the Choose Your Own Adventure series.
Technically, I don't think they said Choose Your Own Adventure on anything.
They did, and one of the strains, that was the thing that it's like, if they hadn't said it, they might have been able to. It's still going to be tough.
It's
going to
be a tough sell.
They're probably going for the Netflix just to settle and give them $1 million or something, but.
But it's set in the 80s, so the soundtrack is brilliant, and it's about a computer programmer in the early days of computer programming, and he's got a tragedy in his past, and he can't seem to get over it. But it's very interesting. There is some gore on some of the options, but I just think it's wild that this actually worked. So
I mean, kudos for coming up with some new type of interactive media. So. You know, taking something that worked on paper and actually putting it on film is always a challenge. So,
yeah, and they've been talking about it for a long time, and they want to do a lot of their programming like that. I mean, it's a lot of extra production work, though. I mean, to have all the different, but I mean, if you figure all the takes that end up like on the Blu-rays and stuff, there's like so many, and I don't think we see a lot of those now because of people don't buy as many of the physical copies, but it's. when I was talking with Douglas Davidson, Elements of Madness, he was like, yeah, there's so much that is just left on the floor that's actually produced that they could just clean up a little bit and do so. But yeah, it's cool.
Very cool. How about you?
Yeah, of course. We watched a couple episodes of Tidying Up, the Netflix, the tidying show, which
this
was...
This is the thing that sucks about being a wife.
No, I will not drop down to 30 books.
Screw well, that's not what she said.
No.
That's the number that works for her.
Yeah. Okay, let me just ask you guys. Did you watch the first episode?
Yes.
We watched the first two.
Yeah. Were you guys not super annoyed like I was that these people didn't have their kids babysat by someone? Like... to some extent, I get that, like, the whole point is, look, their kids don't go away for day-to-day life. They have to learn to, like, tidy their home when the kids are around. But then, to some extent, I'm like, this lady is, like, breastfeeding her child on this show, and these kids are annoying, like...
She never actually fed it. She talked about breastfeeding.
No, I think she was when they were sitting there.
No, she actually just had her head pressed up. She didn't have her shirt up. No. I was watching. But she called it, it's time for boobies. It's time for boobies.
Yeah.
No, I mean, yeah, no. I just found just the wife. I just found the wife annoying.
Babe.
Like, thank you so much for coming into our lives and like... setting us straight and like
that guy is gonna like murder her one day. Like, did you guys get that glint in his eye? Yeah. Like, he's well, like, I'm gonna
also it was funny. Like when like they left
murder ever. Yeah,
when they left like her one time, the camera lingered on her, and all of a sudden her smile, which was like super plastered on, dropped. And I was like, she fucking hates that dude right now. It's like, because he's like, you've got so many clothes. Oh, this is gonna be fun. Like, he was kind of mocking her, and that, you know, that he walked in the next room, and her facade just was like, oh shit.
Yeah, they got some problems in that marriage.
Yeah.
No, the thing that annoyed me was that she talked so much, and then we went from step one to step four, and there was no two and three in the middle. You haven't watched any of
these episodes? I haven't watched any. Maybe she was just tidying up her list.
Well, I think you
drive.
No, she talks about the fact that there's five areas, and the last area she has you deal with is sentimental things, because she gets you get used to purging. So at that point, you're ready. But the first thing is always the clothes, and what she actually makes you do is what she actually suggests that you do.
Right.
Is that you take every bit of clothing you have, every closet, every drawer, everything. And pile it all up in one spot, like on your bed, until you literally have this mountain of clothes.
So laundry day.
Yeah. So this woman had to take everything. Now, in their master bedroom, she had two closets. Now, these aren't walk-in closets. These aren't, you know, double-wide closets. These are just single closets. But she had to take all those out and all of the stuff out of the drawers and everything like that. And even then, the closets weren't empty and they started to try to help her. She goes, oh, no, those are scarves. Those don't count. But then it's like anything you take back, if it doesn't spark joy, if it doesn't provide joy or purpose, then you thank it for its service and you donate it, which is, you know, part of the Japanese tradition of, you know. So the first thing she does is she thanks the house for sheltering them and keeping them safe and all this kind of stuff. And I don't know. Every time she thanked the house, I cried, because that's who I am. But it was like, you know, we don't, you know, here's this place that you've lived in, and you don't take for granted that you woke up in the morning and there wasn't a tsunami and you still were in bed, and hopefully, unless you slept, walked or something. But, you know, you had this house and it stood by you. And, you know, if the house is a mess, you're not appreciating it for what it's doing. And I get that. And that's part of the animism of their philosophy. So I totally get that. And, you know, all these memes going around on Facebook, just shut the fuck up. So, because it's like, if you haven't watched it, it's the thing that bothers me about it is the same annoyance as those people in the Christian faith that I grew up in that would have all these things about Harry Potter, but none of them had ever fucking read it. They'd just been told by a pastor from the pulpit that this is what this was about. And it's like, you have no idea what you're talking about. It's just like people taking your words out of context, and it's like you don't know. But anyway, so she just talks about sparking joy, but she does give that there's five steps, and it's the very first episode. Each episode's like, what, 30 minutes?
That one was about 40.
I think it's an hour.
30, 40. No.
It was like 40 for the first one. But
yeah. It seems like an hour. But they're shortish.
They did stress me out, so it did seem like a while.
Yeah.
You know,
she definitely skipped steps. And unlike an American show where at the end you like, they do a big reveal and there's like new paint on the walls and stuff. No, that's not it. It's like, this is how far they got, which was more realistic.
Yeah,
it's just not the American way that we're used to doing things, right? So it's like they go to the garage, and the garage is not totally cleared out.
No.
Definitely huge dent made in it and more organized until you look carefully at the individual boxes and you realize there's still work to do.
But it's very like, look at my garage. And to your point, I'm like,
yeah, we're used to the American reveals where, like, they come in with a crew.
Every tub is the same color.
Yeah, no, that's not it. It's like, but before you couldn't walk around in it, and now you have a clear set space, especially with the second. Did you see the second episode with the Japanese couple?
I saw all of them. They stressed me out the most because that was just a ton of stuff.
But they were like the most into it. And you know, really, when
the husband really, I mean, that was like nice because you could tell at the beginning, he was like,
he's like, nope,
I guess I'm doing this, I guess. Yeah. Or whatever. But by the end, he was like, I really see the, you know, the merit of this kind of a thing. And but to your point, like, they clear just an absolute shit ton from their house, but there's still a shit ton left kind of a thing. So it was kind of like,
but it was,
this is still too much stuff.
Like, they inherited their house from their parents who were part of the Japanese internment.
Oh.
So, and then, like, now their kids have grown up in the house and moved away, and they're like, we're retirement. We need to, but, like, literally he had a stack of baseball cards like looming over his side of the bed, like anytime,
like to the ceiling,
to the ceiling. It was like 30,000 cards or something in boxes, but so it was crazy. But so it's definitely, and you know, she's interpreted half of this time. She speaks a few English phrases, but I really like her. I mean, you can tell she has
so cute.
Joy, and you know, she just wants to help. But she literally will come in, show them how to do something, and then she leaves. And then she comes back like 10 days later to see how they're doing. And then she gives them the next step, and then she leaves. And then she comes back like another week later.
I kind of felt like it was like they filmed all the episode, like the beginnings, like in the same week.
Yeah,
because she's got two young kids, and then she like went home, like flew back to Japan, like lived, then like, okay, everybody, you better have your shit in a row because she's only here for a week.
Right.
Kind of thing. So, and she wears a lot of white shirts, which just makes me anxious.
Oh.
I have a thing about people with white shirts. It just like, you're going to get dirt, especially if you're running a cleaning show. But I guess that's the point. But
she probably had several. But so just as a side note, I read that book when it came out or whatever. And I really have to say, just as a whatever, but I think that her method is really the best one, in the sense that her whole argument is, you know, the conventional wisdom tells you to clean up a room. So like, oh, I'm going to clean up this office or whatever. Well, when you go from room to room, not to say that that doesn't have merit to it, by the time you circle back around to that office that you started with, probably that office is pretty messed up again, and you're just following a trail of things that you're trying to straighten up. Whereas if you're addressing a category of things completely throughout your entire house, then you're truly making an impact to your entire living space or whatever. So I actually really like, I mean, you roll your eyes a little bit at the, not you guys are, not that you guys are, but like, you know, to the, oh, this is Spark Joy, thank you for your service t-shirt kind of a thing. But like, it is nice.
Yeah. Go ahead.
I think, when did the book come out?
It was like a few years ago.
Okay, because I listened to a podcast called By the Book, where two women will read a self-help book and try and live by that self-help book for 2 weeks to see if
that
it actually...
fun.
It's actually a really good podcast. It's really great because both their husbands tend to get in on it too. And one of the women is married to this very soft-spoken British man who... Honey, oh gosh, what are we doing now? what are we doing now? Because of course they have to live by it as well, because they live with these women. But they did that. I think they did the tidying up book for 2 weeks, and it was one of the few that they actually felt had merit, mm-hmm. because they'll just pick, oh, they've picked horrible self-help books that have driven them completely insane and into tears. Mm. Mostly, you know, diet books or whatever.
Yeah.
But I recommend that podcast. It's called By the Book.
I do have to say that, like, so back when I was married the first time, I always have to give side eye to Starnes Lord because he likes to do this thing where he acts like he's shocked. Like, he
what? You were married?
Whatever. Anyway, I totally would, looking back at it now, would say that, you know, my self-esteem was lower. And especially as the marriage progressed, and I stopped dressing. Like, I literally would grab whatever out of the closet. And when I would go to the store, it's like, here's three shirts that fit me. And here, you know, I'll get three colors or whatever. And if it had a stain on it, I'd wash it and it was clean and I'd wear it anyway, you know, and that's just the way it was. And literally towards the end of the marriage, I was walking around in his shirts that were stained and his pants and stuff like that, because we were similar sizes, because we were similar heights, but whatever. And just no self, like nothing. And then when I moved to Denver, one of the things that I did when I had my first apartment by myself, no roommates, no nothing, was like, I remember the bathroom was like a blue and white bathroom, very 50s or 60s, and they weren't going to upgrade it. But I went out and I found this really cool like shower curtain that had little yellow rubber duckies with little blue bows and everything. And it was very much a kid's kind of thing. I didn't care. It made me happy. It sparked joy. Mm-hmm. And I hung it up and I was like, that is awesome. And then I started dating again and I started going shopping and I was like, you know what? I am not buying shirts just because they fit anymore. And if you're an oversized person, sometimes that's what you do. It's like, oh, it fits and it fits my budget and it fits my clothes, you know, fits me. And it didn't matter if it wasn't pretty, you just bought it. Mm. And now I know that from a clothing standpoint, the whole spark joy thing just clicked with me because I had 450 square feet in that first apartment, one big, huge closet in the outer living area and one smaller closet in the one bedroom in the place. And so on weekends, and I moved out there with nothing. It fit in my Toyota Corolla. It was just clothes and a couple computers and one box of like dishes and books. And I would go through on the weekend for fun and just reorganize that closet because I was like, I will be in control of my stuff. My stuff will not be in control of me. I have left that philosophy now. But at the time, that was like really important to me. But, you know, I go through my closets probably twice a year. And if it doesn't bring me joy, if I don't, like, looking at it doesn't make me feel cute putting it on, it's gone. It's gone. Other than my old lady nightgowns, but that just makes me happy. It doesn't make me feel like I'm cute and just happy. But so I get that part of it. Now the rest of it, I don't know if I could do, but
well, it's kind of cool that now you have almost a way to explain that. You probably couldn't really put that into words in a way that was sort of comprehensible to anybody but you.
Yeah, it's more universal to talk about it because people understand the context. So that's kind of cool. But anyway, that was a lot of conversation.
Well, I think even if you don't, just real quick, if you don't like caress the clothes and thank them, I mean, what it does make you do is stop and evaluate, like, when's the last time I wore this fucking shirt, and pitch it. Or, you know what, it helped me the other night. Actually, last night I was trying on a bunch of shirts and I'm like, you know what? These are not LTs and I need the extra length. I'll never be able to fit in these even if I do lose my gut, which I want to, but the shirt's not going to fit. So I'm not going to wear it.
It's always going to be too short.
Yeah. So it was literally a bag and they were all kind of Star Wars Funko shirts and Marvel Funko shirts. And, you know, our friend Kyle, you know, where's that size?
Who's 5 inches shorter than you.
Yeah. So I was like, do you want them? And he came over tonight and picked them up. And I'm like, that's awesome. Because there's a whole bag of them. I mean, it was cool. So then I felt good. Like, oh, okay. They're going to a good home. They're not just, you know, going to a landfill or something.
It's also that time of year. We went through a couple closets and I was, there was bags of stuff. I was like, just get rid of it. So but,
the one final note, because, you know, we all know that Tiffany loves organization.
Oh, my kind God, of yes.
So, it, you know, listeners, even if the spark joy thing is too much for you, this is how I always thought of things is... If I was to move tomorrow, would I want to have to lug this fucking thing in a truck to a new place and unpack it? Mm-hmm. If the answer's no, it needs to go. There you go.
There you go.
Look, I love how you put fucking in there. You have this like little, you know, angelic smile.
You should have your own show, Tiffany. It's
like, oh my God. No, I really do want my own show. Like, the joke is because they would call it the Tiffany Touch, which sounds so terrible. But like, basically, like,
touched by a Tiffany.
Why don't you just have touch of Tiffany?
I mean, something. Just because of the alliteration, but like, because. It's a it's a blessing and a curse in the sense that like I can like drive through a neighborhood and I can look at a house and I can like really quickly go, if they did this, this, and this, the house would look super cute. And if they did this, this, and I can like do it really quickly and whatever. And it's like, so it's like a joke in my family that like, oh, you need to get a TV show. And I'm like, only I would have a TV show where I would go knock on someone's door and go, your house looks like shit. Let's make it look better with your money. You know?
I could actually see that happening.
It'd be funny, yeah. True TV.
Yeah. So you watched that.
I also watched, I guess there's about three episodes of Slobby's World. Have you seen
no,
this?
No, I haven't seen this one.
So this is set in Arizona. This guy, I think it's Tucson. So this guy owns an 80s, 90s nostalgia store, which is cool. It has a lot of action figures, but they haven't even focused on any of that. But it also has like the actual style from that time. So he's got a bunch of Gucci clothing. And then like what's really interesting, he can look at any item and say, okay, that's a real Gucci. That's a real Coach or whatever from that period. That's a fake one. And then there's another category that's basically inspired. So they're not officially Gucci, but they're kind of inspired and they're cool t-shirts and stuff like that. But he'll buy stuff like at a swap meet for $2, sells for $100. I mean, his markup is just crazy, but it's like a lot of the millennials are getting into the 80s and 90s and they go in and it looks just like you would walk into a high boutique store. There's like, it's racked. It's not like where you got to sift through a ton of stuff. It's displayed really well. And then he has like old Nikes and stuff like that. And then the toys too and stuff like that. But it's just really fun. And then they had one where they actually like went around with his crew. He's got a picker and some other people and some do it. But he's a real character. I hate his voice. It's very like raspy. I don't like his voice, but he's just something about him that's like so strange that I like it. But he puts like in a fake grill when he's in the shop and he's very white boy, you know, kind of emulating. And then the co-owner is super chill, quiet, barely says anything. And he's African American. And it's just like, he's just cool guy. That's like his partner that kind of puts up with him, I think. But it's a real fun show. And that's about a half hour show. So episodes. So they're cool. But,
yeah. So I definitely spent part of the holiday season just kind of catching up on stuff. So caught up in Cloak and Dagger, which I really like.
Yeah.
I think it's gone really well. And then watched the whole first season of Gifted and I'm halfway through season two. And that was one of those shows that I saw and then I got behind and I just never watched it. And I binged through a lot of series that I just hadn't seen. But then we went to a Logicon, and I got sick, which, let me tell you, it's not fun.
No.
I'm going to delicately say that I lost my lunch, mostly because I didn't have a lunch, and then I ate snack food, and that did not go well. But it was one of these hotels. It was an Embassy Suite. It was very nice, and we had this very fancy sink in the bathroom, one of these, like, shallow sinks. So I didn't feel well. I went to the bathroom, was doing the thing where you sit on the thing, and then all of a sudden, in the middle of sitting on the thing and depositing stuff in from the thing while you're on the thing, I knew I was getting sick.
Can I just say that after all this happened, she swore me to secrecy on this, and now she's sitting on a podcast telling everyone about it.
But I don't have to look at anybody. It was like at a Logicon, people would have been coming up, which is another thing. I'll come right back to that. But anyway, so I thought I was being helpful because things weren't going down the drain. So I added water to it and just make it 10 times worse. So I just had to call maintenance and they and have them come in. In the meantime, I'm not feeling great. And my knee, I've messed up. So I'm like hobbling around. So I couldn't lay down because I had to wait for the guy to come knock on the door so I could let him in. And then I don't want to lay on the bed next to the bathroom while he's in there. So that was odd and awkward. But evidently there's this orange pellet-like stuff they can pour on things and it just disintegrates everything. But anyway, made me rethink fancy sinks. Based on my lifestyle. But I wanted to say one other thing. So I really love a Logicon. It is a great little con. It wasn't as busy this year. It was a new convention space, and I think there was a lot of stuff. But I love the vibe of the con. Mm-hmm. The only two funny things that happened, one wasn't funny, but it was just it's just one of my pet peeves. But the one thing that was funny was that I've been sick for several months, and we've talked about that on the podcast, but I literally had somebody come up and say, "Hey, I'm so glad to see you here." And they said, "After reading all of your Facebook posts, I'm surprised at how good you look." I'm like, what the fuck am I supposed to do with that?
You're not on death's door. I'm astounded.
And it either made me feel like I was misrepresenting myself on Facebook, which I don't believe I have.
No, you
I believe
not.
I've actually been trying to be somewhat cheerful and semi-funny about it. But I was just like, I'm sorry, I'm wearing lipstick, maybe. I don't know what to tell you. I'm at a con. I'm excited to see my friends. So yes, I'm probably in good spirits. And then everything was great. The only thing that bothers me, and this is not a Logicon specific, this is con thing. I love being on panels, but the one thing that pisses me off is when the people in the panel before you don't know how to stop their panel. And it's just this thing that's so annoying. And I wasn't even the moderator for the panel that this happened to me on. But we walked into a panel where they were obviously doing some interactive play and they didn't start the panel. So then they had broken up into groups and they wanted all the groups to report back. You know, it was like one of these workshop type things. The panel was supposed to end at, in my opinion, panels are supposed to end at 10 of, because mm-hmm. that gives enough time for the people to be able to chat afterwards with any panelists, because a lot of them are authors who are trying to sell their books or whatever, and vacate so the next group can come in and get set up so the next group can start on time. This woman didn't start the little report backs until 5 minutes of. The first two people talked extremely long. She did nothing to tell them, you have 60 seconds to tell what you figured out. She did nothing to moderate that, which is your job as a moderator. Sorry. I'm sorry. Namaste. And then it actually became the top of the hour, and she let the other two groups do that. And the only thing that kept me from walking to the front of that room was A, I want to be invited back again. And B, one of the people on the panel was one of the guests of honor. But it wasn't the guest of honor doing that. I would have even given a little freeway for that. It was the moderator. And so we didn't even, and then they stood at the front of the table and wanted to chat. And I was like, guys? And the person that was the moderator in that particular panel that I was on didn't realize he was the moderator. So when I started doing that and we all looked at him and said, well, you're the moderator. He's like, oh, okay. But that was fine. But anyway, so.
Why'd you do that, Carol?
I wasn't guessing.
She wasn't even there. She'd been there. And we have a friend who usually has helped out in the past, and she would have never let that fly either.
Yeah.
But I definitely didn't go up and tell her about it because she was already stressed out. So, but other than that, I just, everybody at the con was really, really nice. I felt really bad that I ended up spending literally half of Saturday, like after 1 o'clock, after my panel at 2 o'clock, I did not reappear for the rest of the day because of being sick and just not wanting to take a chance of getting down there and having a repeat. But it was a lot of fun. It was a good first con of the year.
Yeah, it was a good first good con of the year. And shout out to Valentine Wolf, because at their concert, I was in the audience and Braxton said, "Is Carol here?" And I'm like, yeah. And he's like, "Okay, everybody turn around and say hi to Carol." And of course, that made me incredibly uncomfortable. He's like, "So we were listening to your podcast, and when you reviewed our last album, you said you wanted to hear something with just the bass and vocals, so this one's for you." And they did a song with just the bass and vocals, and it was beautiful. And I felt really...
And yet she did not live stream it to me so that I could watch from my sick bed in the hotel. It was all about her.
I recorded it, and it is on my Instagram.
I know. I didn't
get the beginning part, though, where he called me out because I wasn't prepared to get that bit. But yeah, shout out to Braxton and Sarah because they're awesome.
They're just always awesome. Yeah. Can we just be honest? They're like two of the coolest people, and they're always so gracious, and they're always so kind. We're just always grateful to be part of their world and that they let us be.
And
part
I do
of
like
theirs.
The new location. I hope Illogicon keeps that.
Oh, and that restaurant
was really good.
Did they have good bacon?
No. Yes.
Well, they did have good bacon.
Because I mean, it was obviously sweet.
Carol got this meal, and I apologize. That was not very nice of me, but I was so excited when you ordered it because I'd been waffling between two different choices. And she got this prosciutto wrapped pear.
With gorgonzola.
And a balsamic vinaigrette drizzle on it. And it came and I said, "I'm so glad you got that. I'm taking one." And Carol really didn't have a choice.
It was gone before I was like, what?
I said, "You can take some of my pizza." And then I gave it all to our other friend that was sitting with us. But anyway, the pizza was good too. I just didn't, I wasn't eating that much. So, but anyway. It was really
That was good. Really good, yeah.
My one regret on Sunday was that I had told myself when I didn't eat it Saturday night, because I wasn't sure how my stomach was going to be, that I was going to order it on our way out, and then we left before I ordered it. So, but anyway, but it was really good. Yeah. Other than that, just catching up on several shows, but I did see at the hotel I Feel Pretty with the Amy Schumer, which is really funny because if you've come to any of our tables, we have had 5,000 pop sockets from the movie.
Cannot Feel Pretty.
But when we had the advanced screening, I didn't get to go. I did kind of fall asleep during the middle part of it, but I enjoyed what I saw, so I was glad that I had seen that. And then we watched the last three quarters of Thank You for Your Service, which is a really bizarre movie to wake up to at 6 a.m. in the morning because it's about PTSD, guys with PTSD from the military, and it was very real life acting.
It's based on a true story, so.
Yeah, so it wasn't as high drama. It was played very much at that level of this is what happened. And I mean, these guys literally saw one of their friends get killed, and then one of their friends had 2 inches of his brain taken out because of being dropped and all this stuff, and trying to deal with it afterwards. And one guy literally couldn't remember stuff, and then the other guy, it was just so that was a very sobering movie.
You can thank Dick Cheney.
Yeah, you can actually.
And then we watched the end of Spider-Man 3, which I guess I'd never seen. So
the Sam Raimi Spider-Man 3. Yeah,
so it wasn't the worst thing.
Did you see
I'd ever
when
seen.
Tobey Maguire was like jazz time, Toby?
No, we missed that.
She
part.
Missed the emo
we went to
Toby.
And came back.
Yeah, she missed emo Toby dancing. Yeah,
so now I have to go watch it. But I did like the part where they use the vibrations to separate Venom from the guy.
Yeah,
and then.
Well, they do that in the new movie, too.
It did take me a second to realize that Topher Grace was not Justin Timberlake, because with the curly blonde hair, just for a minute, this is pre-coffee, remember? He looked like him, or a him wannabe. So,
Okay, I also I have to shout out. I started binge watching The Good Place.
Very good.
I kind of love this Shurton movie, this Shurton show. Because do you guys watch The Good Place?
Yeah, they can't swear and stuff.
Yeah, they can't swear. So it's like, holy shirt. Why can't I say shirt? So I actually really love this show. I'm on about halfway through season two now.
Oh, cool.
It's good. Yeah.
Yeah.
I watched the first, I guess, part of the season until it kind of ran out, but it was Manifest.
Yeah, have you seen that.
Any of that?
It's back on now. I watched that.
It's back on. Yeah, that was interesting. You know, people were trying to say it was like Lost, and I was like, you're not going to compare to that. And then Lost, each season is not the same.
No.
The same quality-wise, unfortunately. No. But anyway, yeah, but I thought it was interesting. I really just don't like the lead guy at all. I don't know why that actor.
The brother?
Yeah, he doesn't capture me, and I've seen him in a couple other things, but I think he's an okay actor, but I just didn't feel like he should be the one leading it. I almost thought maybe the sister should have done it. So I thought it was an odd thing. I don't know. He just wasn't completely believable to me. But it's interesting. But yeah, it has like little tiny things that are sort of like Lost, but not as much as they're trying to jump on that bandwagon.
I'm getting to this point where I'm like, I want to know what happened, obviously, like why this plane disappeared.
Yeah.
But I'm getting worn out by it because at least Lost was, you know, intelligent and weird and whatever. And like this to me feels like it's like skirting the surface of being preachy and religious to some extent. It's very, not that Lost wasn't on a network television channel, it was, but it's not the same vibe. I thought Lost was a little bit more badass, honestly, than this. Yeah. But yeah, I'm getting a little like that angel statue talked and said, believe in him or like whatever. And it was like, I mean, it's not quite, I think to begin with, it was a little bit more religious than it is now. I think it's a little bit more subtle, but it's getting a little corny to me. And then like I find the son that has cancer creepy as fuck. And I'm like, yeah, I don't like that kid.
What I'm really afraid of...
Spoiler alert, there's a son and he has cancer.
Learn that like literally 30 seconds within knowing him,
Here's the plot point. Go for it. No, but what I'm afraid of is, so I get into these shows and, you know, like Timeless and things like that. And sometimes a show will come back and that's great. But there's so many shows that have really cool premises and they're clicking along, but I really don't pay attention to ratings, so I don't know if a show is doing well or not. I just know that I like it. I have no idea. You know, I really don't look at the Nielsen's. I don't care about that. But all of a sudden, it's just gone, and I'm like, oh, fuck. Like, there's a show called Flash Forward back in the day.
Yeah.
And it was really intriguing.
It was really intriguing,
but they didn't allow them to finish it, and it was just canceled, and you're like, what the fuck, man? Yeah, I invested like especially an hour weekly show.
Yeah,
that's all big investment. Other stuff could be, you know, I could be watching.
I do think that if it makes you feel better, I think this is kind of a hit. I think it's doing well.
Yeah.
So we maybe see it go somewhere.
They said that about Timeless too, though. They said Timeless was a hit, and I'm like, it got canceled twice. Like they thought, you know, it's bizarre. They're like, well, it's canceled. Oh, we might come back. And all of a sudden it was like, okay, it's definitely canceled. We were just fooling around for a couple months.
And the people
there in
Timeless were better looking than the people in this show.
Yeah.
I had that same problem with Carnival on HBO, which literally ended on a cliffhanger.
Oh,
and they're still keep taunting us with this. We're going to finish it. We're going to do a movie and finish it. Like, fuck you, man. That was like 15, 20 years ago.
Well, like Pushing Up Daisies.
Yeah.
They were going to do, they're like, okay, we'll finish it off in a comic book. First it was going to be a movie, then it was a comic book, and none of that stuff
happened.
The creators are like, no, I'm not going to keep doing this. I'm not doing that. It's just like, I want to finish my show. It's like,
I did try to watch Night Flyers, which is the new George R. R. Martin.
Oh.
Well, it's inspired by one of his novellas. Oh, God, this show was bad.
Oh, no.
I tried. I really tried, but it does not. It takes a very good... It takes very good writing to start your show at the end and then go, you know, several months prior and start it again. But when your opening scene is your lead character killing herself, you're like, well, why am I going to care about her at all? Because you just showed me she kills herself. Right, and the acting's not all that good. And I don't know if anyone saw the 1980s movie that was based on this. I remember going to the theater, and I was one of two people in the theater watching this because I had a thing for Michael Praed, who is the lead in the movie, the 1988 movie. He also starred in Robin of Sherwood, the Showtime series, if you ever watched that one. But, it wasn't good then. Yeah. It's not good now. It's just not a really good George R. R. Martin work, and for some strange reason they resurrected it and tried to do a show of it, and it's just, it didn't quite work.
I will say, watching, you know, you're talking about watching The Gifted and stuff, but the actor who played Bill from True Blood
is
the dad. And I swear, I'll turn to Joey and I'll just be like, oh, Suke.
Literally everybody in the world that ever watched that show thinks of him going, Suke.
But I'm like, Christopher Reeve could have walked in with a Superman costume on and I wouldn't have thought of Superman as much as Suke. You know what I mean?
Literally, as soon as you mentioned him, I thought to myself, Suke.
Right. And I would just turn to Joey and be like, oh, Suke. But literally, that was 80% of his damn lines was just that.
Just that.
And I was like, no wonder. But what's funny is, like, we've got HBO Go or whatever, and it's like, I'll look at how many seasons things ran, and I'm like, wow, I only saw, like, the first three seasons, and I was out. And it, I think it was, like, six seasons of that shit.
Well, the books went on went 13 books, and she was just repeating things. I read all 13 of them, and the last six.
You made it? Okay,
The last six were just like, let's do this again. Let's do that again.
You know? I remember getting all of those at Target, like, after the show was popular, and I'm like, same thing. I got like through him. I was like, oh no. And I should have known then that's how the show was going to kind of peter off as well as far as quality goes. But it was like, oh my God.
Because she was only supposed to do like 9 or 10 of them. And then, of course, the show became a hit and they convinced her to do 3 extra ones. Ugh. So it would end on 13, you know, the unlucky number or whatever. And oh my God, by the end, it was just repeating itself so badly.
Yeah. The books in general were not. I would say the vibe was not as good as the show. The show made it kind of sexy and interesting.
Well, see, I thought the books were far sexier than the show.
Oh, no.
Yeah, I thought the books were very lightweight, but
yes.
She does sex scenes really good. Yeah. I thought so.
So they got Carol wet is what we're saying.
I don't know if that was inferred, really, but okay. We'll take your word for it, Tiffany.
Thanks for taking it there, Tiff. On that note.
Well, let me end it on a clean note then really quick, since we had a dirty. Brian Regan also has a little strange show, The Comedian, on Netflix, which you watched, I think, one or two of those with me. Or most of them. You don't remember? Yeah.
Did we?
But anyway,
I was asleep.
But anyway,
or on drugs.
Mostly on drugs these days. But
it's called,
I'm down to 13 different drugs that I'm required to take by law. Go ahead.
Thanks so much. It's Brian Regan, Stand Up and Away. And he'll start off doing some stand up and then they'll break away and show these kind of reenactments of what he was talking about, like his situation. And it's very theater of the mind the way he describes things anyway, but he's a really clean comedian, but they'll do that. So it's kind of interesting because they have like little teleplays where they play it out. So it's kind of interesting, but if you're looking for something quick, and it's only 6 episodes and I think they're like 20 minutes an episode. So you can kind of, if you want to feel successful by plowing your way through episodes, do it. Yes. That's my clean chaser for Tiffle's Carol's wet comments.
There you go. All right. Well,
she spilled a glass of water on herself. What are you guys talking about?
No.
All right. So that's episode 252.
Okay.
252.
Us rambling.
If you like it, let us know. If you don't like it, let us know. Just let us know.
Let us know.
Subscribe.
If you're just trying to learn words in English, give us the list. We'll read them for you.
Yeah.
And, you know, be coming back because we're going to have some more guests. But welcome to 2019, folks. We're still going strong. Thanks so much.
Chugga chugga.
Au revoir.
Bye.
You've been listening to Guardians of the Geekery. Find us on the web at guardiansofthegeekery.com and everywhere fine podcasts are found. Support the Charlotte Geeks at patreon.com/charlottegeeks. Tune in next time for another exciting adventure on Guardians of the Geekery.